Welcome to HunterSportsTalk.com. We'll get into the NBA playoffs and we'll get into the aftermath of the NCAA Women's Tournament and the WNBA Draft. Any comments or concerns, reach out. HunterSportsTalk, all one word, at gmail.com. HunterSportsTalk at gmail.com. The playoffs have been going according to plan, except minutes ago when the Indiana Pacers take care of the Milwaukee Bucks 125-108. The reason why I said it's been going as planned, the home teams have won the first 12 games of the playoffs after it started on Saturday, so almost 3 days. But the Pacers break the home team's winning streak by beating, the Bucks 125-108, as I've said. Spicy P, they call him. But they call him, his real name is Pascal Siakam. Ends up having plus 30 in the first two games. 30 points in the first two games of the series. Dame Lillard had 30. But I think the key to the game, based on watching it, obviously, Indiana shot better from the three-point line and shot better from the field overall. But they were able to steal minutes with T.J. McConnell. Now, T.J. McConnell is an interesting story in itself, coming from Arizona, undrafted, played for Philly, initially getting out of college and went on to Indiana. So what makes him interesting is this year, Rick Carlisle's the coach there and basically told him that he would be out the rotation. He earns his spot. And over the last six games up until tonight, he was basically averaging 16 points a game and six assists and still does not have a three-point shot. It's better than what it was when he initially came into the league, but he's just a old-school backup point guard. He affected the game. One of the better defenders in the NBA at his position, one of those guys that defends full court, and he gave Dame all he can handle. Dame had over 30, but he only had 8 in the second half. And the reason that he bought minutes was because McConnell was in there towards the end of the third quarter, and he gave Halliburton a rest for the first 4 or 5 minutes, and they extended the lead while Halliburton was on the bench. One would argue, even though it wouldn't happen, that Halliburton could have probably said a little more than that, but you want to get your stars in the game. So, series tied at 1. They're going to play game 3 at Indiana on Friday. And here comes the, oh, Lord. And what I mean by the, oh, Lord, can Milwaukee win this series? And it's just one game. And Indiana should be favored because in the 5 games they played during the regular season, I think Indiana was 4-1. And Indiana held their own with Giannis there. Now, here comes the speculation of Giannis playing in game 3. If he plays in game 3, he is going to be limited. I think that calf is a big deal. And you have to be careful with that because that calf can turn into other things. It's like when you play the operation when you're little, the head bone connected to the neck bone connected to the shoulder bone. Same thing with his calf. The calf is very close to the Achilles. I am no doctor. I have just read this on Wikipedia. So when you're irritate one injury, your other muscles work harder, which could lead to problems long term if they do make a run. You bring him back when he's healthy. You have Dame Lillard, you have Middleton, and you should be able to compete in this series. Now, I don't know if you should win this series, but you should at the very least be able to steal a game in Indiana and bring that series back 2-2 to Milwaukee. They should be able to do that. They won game 1 with Dame scoring 35 in the first half and then scored the rest of the game. But they should be able to win one game in Indiana. Should be. Indiana is excited as well as they should. It's a big win in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's the number three seed, and Indiana's number 6. That number 2 through 8 basically was jumbled up. I think they were only separated by 3 or 4 games. But this is the first time Halliburton's been in the playoffs. A lot of these young guys being in the playoffs. So, very exciting times. They should be excited. And they were acting as if they haven't been there before, because guess what? They weren't there before. So good for them. They break the home court streak and they go on to play Friday at Indiana, where that arena is going to be rocking and rolling. The other game that took place tonight was Minnesota taking care of business against the Phoenix Suns. They end up winning by 12 against Phoenix, 105-93. And Cat and Edwards did not have great games. I think Edwards only had, ended up with 15 shots, 3 of 12 from the field. Cat did a little bit better, not that much really, 12-8. And they had big games from McDaniels, got a big game from Rudy Gobert. He had 18-9. McDaniels had 25 points in 41 minutes, basically held it down against Booker and Durant. Durant had 18 on 6 for 15 shooting. Booker had an okay game, but not really. Ends up fouling out, 6 for 13, 20 points, 5 assists. Ends up fouling out of the game. Again, no need to panic. This is one of the reasons that home court is valuable and that 82-game grind is valuable to overcome, is because you want this home court advantage. I think Phoenix is going to end up winning 2 in Minnesota, in Phoenix. And this series is going to come back 2-2 to Minnesota sometime next week. But Durant's not having a good game. One concern for Phoenix, Grayson Allen, one of the few role players they have after that big three of Beal, Booker, and Durant, he ends up re-aggravating the ankle injury that he had, and he's probably out for an undetermined period of time. Highly unlikely that he plays game 3. So on with that, Minnesota takes care of business and they win 105-93. Now on to the games. Well, during this taping with Dallas and the Clippers are playing, and that game's going back and forth. Kawhi ended up suiting up and playing. He hasn't played in the last few weeks or so, but he's suiting up and playing. You know, one thing to look at in this game is, how is James Harden going to respond? James Harden had a big game in game 1 that they won. Is James Harden going to have a big game in game 2? And Dallas has been really good defensively. Well, they had a winning streak, but they've really been good defensively since the trade deadline. And what they do is they'll start Luka and Kyrie, and they'll play Derrick Jones at the 3. And they'll play Gafford and P.J. Washington. P.J. Washington's more of a 4, but he's long. He can play the 5, and Gafford is a long, athletic 4. And their defense has been really good. So I think that's a long series either way, whether L.A. takes a 2-0 lead or that series going 1-1 if Dallas ends up pulling it out. But home teams have held serve. Let's talk about the most exciting night of the playoffs, which was last night, with the Eastern game first. Philadelphia ends up blowing a 5-point lead within the last minute. They lose 104-101. And the 2-minute report came out for the referees. They missed multiple calls. They missed Maxey getting grabbed during an inbounds play after Brunson hit a 3 to cut the lead to 2. And they also missed a timeout that Coach Nick Nurse was trying to call when the ball was being inbounded by Kyle Lowry. I mean, it is what it is. Fine. You just have to roll with it. They're down 2-0. Embiid obviously is not 100%. I think it's a little bit more being made of that injury than's actually being said. And what I mean by it is this. He's not in basketball shape. I don't think they would have him out there if it was at risk of him being more injured. I think him sitting out those last games, once he came back the last 8 to 10 games of the season, was a precaution. I think he's fatigued. Do I think he's running down the floor, Embiid? No, he is not. But he still had 30 and 10 last night. Now, that 30 and 10 comes in different quarters. Obviously, in the fourth quarter, not as effective. And beginning of the fourth, he was okay. But towards the end of the fourth, he's not. Here's one problem, him not being good at the end of the fourth. He is what you would call a more traditional center. And I mean traditional in terms of he needs someone to set him up. He's not a back-to-the-basket guy because that knee is not well. He doesn't hit those mid-range jumpers that he hit before the knee injury happened, which limits his offensive arsenal. But guess what? He still had 30 and 10. But the offensive arsenal is limited, and he's still the best player on the floor. You know, one thing that they do that they want them to get these outrageous quotes is putting a mic in front of somebody after a game like that. So Embiid's upset and basically says, hey, we're the better team, and we're going to win this series. And they should win this series because they should think that they're a better team. Taking nothing away from the Knicks, you still have to hit those shots. And they steal the ball. DiVincenzo hits a shot in the upper left corner. They get the Hardenstein gets the rebound, gets a look at the top of the key. They nail it. Philadelphia gets the ball back. Maxie goes to the rim and is blocked by Hardenstein. Game over, basically. It is what it is. So, on the game three, they protected their home court. Game one was also close to 111 to 104, and New York pulled it out. But game one was close as well. Philadelphia should feel like they're the better team in this series because of Embiid and the team they've built around Embiid. New York should have all the confidence in the world because they beat them on their home court. I expect this series to go back 2-2 when the series resumes on Thursday at Wells Fargo in Philadelphia. It will be 2-2. Embiid has never spoken like that before. He's never declared that the team is going to win a series. He's always says, we hope. This is what we want to do. But him declaring that there's going to be a win, you know, that should give confidence to the to his team and the fan base. I'm sure his team is confident. The fan base is not. The sky's falling, Chicken Little, all that great stuff. But all New York did was hold their home court, and that's what you're supposed to do. You're the higher seed. Great. Think New York is 50-32 in the regular season, and Philadelphia is 47-35, so only three games separated them. Even with Embiid being injured for the last, for at least 2 months of the season and coming back the last 2 weeks of the season. So, yeah, it is what it is. So, of course, you know, the internet takes over and you know the take shows have a lot to say. Why does Embiid have his head down and when he's declaring that they're going to win the series? Because he has an eye injury. That's why his head's down. But don't ever let the truth get in the way of a good story is what I usually tell people. He gets inadvertently hit in the eye in game one by Kelly Oubre, his own teammate. And he's been wearing sunglasses ever since game one. And that's okay. Again, report that. It's not him being a bad leader. It's him there in front of his locker. He's saying it's effing unacceptable. And another thing I wanted to comment on too. So right after that game, you know, beat writers reported, Tim Bontemps, the ESPN, reported that the 76ers are going to file a grievance. And, you know, some pundits have called that loser energy. It's not loser energy. It's politicking. You know, the glory days of the Bulls, Phil would do this all the time, and it wasn't called a grievance. It was him asking for calls for the next game. This is all Philly's doing. And they're paying $10,000 to file a grievance. They know that these calls aren't going to get overturned. The two-minute report comes out, and it basically says, we miss Maxi being grabbed. We miss Nick Nurse calling one timeout. With the evidence of the last two-minute report, they're not overturning anything. The series is going to Philadelphia 2-0. That's all that's going to happen. That's it. And the league is not going to say why, even though they've admitted mistakes. And if they do say why, they'll probably go as far as to say, hey, we missed this call in third quarter for New York, so we're not going to turn this game around. To sit up there and say that that did not cost them the game, those calls did. Now, could have Philadelphia executed better? Sure. But those calls cost you the game when you're on the road like that. It cost you the game. Them not being able to call timeout because the referee is not paying attention or is swallowing his whistle cost them the game. You know why? Because they have one timeout left after Brunson hits that corner three, and they can advance the ball half court and set a play. More than likely, they get the ball in. But because the referee swallows his whistle, they don't do that. Same thing with the Maxey foul being grabbed not once, but twice. So, again, series still able to win for Philadelphia, but you have to win game three. And you have to win game four, that's on Sunday, which I expect Philadelphia to do. New York 2-0, series starts, Thursday at Wells Fargo. Now to the Lakers-Nuggets game. 101-99, Murray hits a jumper over Anthony Davis. The Lakers have lost 10 in a row, regular season, including regular season and playoffs, to Denver. They had a lead in game one, they lost it. They had a 20-point lead in game two, and they lost it. Nuggets walked them down both times. Murray wasn't really good all game, and he says during his post-game interview that he's given the confidence to shoot that shot. That he did. He is a playoff performer. That's what happens. They end up winning. They're up 2-0. I'm a little bit more skeptical because it may be in that team, the Lakers' head, that they're down 2-0, and I don't know if they have the talent level to win two games in a row, but it wouldn't surprise me. LeBron's post-game comments were interesting, and they were somewhat valid. So LeBron was basically saying with the officiating that there was a call that wasn't overturned, that one call, Bailey, that it wasn't overturned, that the Lakers, that they challenged, where the hand is considered part of the ball, and D'Angelo Russell was hit on his hand, and basically the foul wasn't overturned. It wasn't turned into a foul, that is. And then LeBron goes to say, hey, I saw the end of that lake, that Philadelphia Knicks game. That was ridiculous, and LeBron walks off. So one thing that's changed since the All-Star game this year, the NBA has somewhat, they've come out and said, hey, we've changed the officiating a little bit. It's not loosey-goosey as it was. And what I mean by loosey-goosey, it was dudes putting up 70-point games and 50-point games once every other week. And that's not good for the league. That defense is non-existent. So the league, well, the referees and the league clamped down after that All-Star break. And the officiating has been a little bit inconsistent. So that's what LeBron's talking about. LeBron is campaigning for calls in game three. By the way, jump shooting team, the Lakers, but guess who goes to the line the most? The LA Lakers over the regular season. With that being said, it doesn't mean that the referees didn't miss any calls. And LeBron is 39 years old. Every minute counts. Every win counts. So they go to L.A. They play on Thursday. I expect L.A. to win game three. I think the tough game for L.A. will be that game four. And you know, Denver until somebody beats them. And they have not been beaten yet. So 2-0 in that series as well. Also, another game that happened on Monday night was Cleveland taking care of business with Orlando 96-86. Mitchell is spry again after wearing a mask, having a face injury, and having knee issues. And Mobley and Allen are playing like big guys, double-digit rebounds in both games for both. And, you know, Orlando's a young team that doesn't have a lot of perimeter shooting. A lot to put on 21-year-old Pablo Bancaro, who's played really well, but they don't have consistent perimeter shooting. And it may be one of those series where the perimeter shooting transfers once Orlando gets in front of their home crowd. So I expect them to win one of those two games. I just think it'll be hard for them to come out of that those two games at home winning both. But you never know. Their GM basically said this is a learning experience for them to be in the playoffs. And sometimes you need to get that booty whooped before you actually win anything. So they're down 2-0, 96-86. Cavs took care of business on Monday night. Two series that resume on Wednesday, the last of the game twos, Celtics and Heat and Pelicans and Thunder. Celtics beat the Heat on Sunday 114-94. No Jimmy Butler. They hung in there for a quarter and a half, but this is a series for Boston that they just want to come out of this series relatively unscathed injury-wise. They have the advantage in talent, and you would hope that they win this series if you're a Celtic fan in four games. Wouldn't surprise me if Miami wins one of these games in Miami once they go there on the weekend. And if they win a game in Miami, oh, law, what's wrong with Boston? But this is their booger bear. The Miami Heat shouldn't be any trouble for Boston at all. They're going on to the second round against more than likely, the winner of Cleveland or Orlando. And obviously, I think Cleveland can give them way more trouble than Orlando could. I think, obviously, Boston would be the favorite. But the quick guards of the Cavaliers with Mitchell and Garland, I think they'll give Boston problems. A harder 5-6-game series, but they'll wait the winner of that once they take care of business against Miami. Pelicans and Thunder is going to be really interesting. Sunday night, the Thunder end up winning 94-92. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, best player in the series, had 30-plus, takes him home. The one thing you saw from Oklahoma City with this core they have with Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren and the guys, inexperience. One thing New Orleans does have is playoff experience with Valanciunas and C.J. McCollum, and I think Herb had a little bit the last year or two. So they have guys with playoff experience. Ingram. So I don't think they're going to shy away from the moment. I think this is a 6-7 game series for both teams, and it wouldn't surprise me if New Orleans won. And if New Orleans did win, it wouldn't be disappointing. It wouldn't be a disappointing season for the Thunder. Because, again, this group has to get their playoff chops. And this is one way to get it. I think they're still favored to win this series. And I think if they win tomorrow, if they win Wednesday, it's still going to be a long series. I think New Orleans is going to hold court one way or another. We're going 6 or 7 games. The one thing I noticed about New Orleans, they need a traditional point guard there. And with Zion not being there, it gives the other guys more room. Ingram, CJ, and it gives Trey Murphy, more minutes. And obviously the answer is not to get rid of Zion, but it's a lot of dudes that need the ball. And you need playmakers, true enough. But I think when Alvarado's been in there, their offense has moved better. But I think Alvarado is a high-end reserve point guard. I think they get a point guard in there that's looking to distribute and get other guys involved, like a Mike Conley type, but younger. I don't think they make those type of point guards anymore in the draft, by the way. I don't think they're highly talented prospects. But you want a guy that can distribute the ball, put you where you need to go, but also get a bucket. Again, Mike Conley, year 17 for the Wolves. You need someone like that. And I think that the Pelicans would be a top 4 team in the West if they got that. So I expect that series to go 6 or 7 games. The last thing I wanted to touch on was the WNBA draft that took place on last week. That draft had over 2 million viewers. Because, mainly, one of the reasons of Caitlin Clark. And the characters that are chasing Caitlin Clark. You know, Angel Reese and the team, the ladies off of the South Carolina team. So, because of the popularity of Caitlin Clark, I think eyeballs everywhere. You saw the numbers during the Final Four. And here's a hidden fact that no one talks about. Women's college basketball has always been more popular historically than pro women's basketball. And with her entering the league, you know, they had a press conference and the, you know, awkward question that Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star, gave her with the heart and all that other stuff. Whatever. It was silly. And was just trying to be funny. People overreacting as usual. But she has said multiple times, hey, I'm not going to come to the league and score 30 points a game or whatever. But to hear the hateration in the dancery, to hear the Cheryl Swoops of the world, we shouldn't really count a record, and she's not all that great, and Ty Rossi saying she's not going to come up here and tear the league up. It is good for business that this is what people are paying attention to. Her in those tournament games were outdrawing men's tournament games. And that's good for women's basketball. Long term, it should be good for the WNBA. If you're Don Taurasi and you're playing the league in her defense, you shouldn't think that this person is better than you. Because you've accomplished way more than she has, but yet she's getting the attention. There's nothing, I don't blame anyone for feeling jealousy if you're in the WNBA. You should. I understand that. But she is the ticket to you making more money. I think they play 30 games in the WNBA regular season. 26 of her games are going to be on national television. 26. Meaning that when you play, I think Dawn Staley said it nicely after the NCAA tournament, after they beat them in the NCAA tournament final. When you're watching Caitlin Clark, you're watching our team too, which you can become fans of our kids. It's good for business that she is good. But hateration has always been around when a new thing on the block has come around. You know, homework for you. Go to YouTube and look around when Jordan entered the league in fall of 1984. You had Dr. J and other guys saying that, well, you'll never win with a guard. You always need a big. You need a Kareem. You need a Moses. You need a 4-4-4 to win an NBA championship. He's not going to come in and tear the league up. And they actually believed that. And again, who knew? Everybody thought that Jordan would be nice, but nobody thought Jordan would be the best player of all time. Same thing with LeBron. You go back and look when he entered the league in 2003. Hey, by the way, he'll be okay, but you know he's not better than. Got tape of Carlos Boozer talking about him not giving this dude his props. And the reason why it's different in the NBA than it is in the WNBA, they're already established. This is already an established league. This is a league that talks about inequality all the time. We don't have this. We don't get that. We don't get this. And we don't get that. There's a possible cash cow coming in there, but they want that cash cow a certain way. The WNBA doesn't think they need any help. They think they're good now. They're woke. You know, they talk about social issues. And again, they've had, obviously, all-time great players come through that league and all-time great players in that league now. They just don't get the eyeballs. The draft got more eyeballs in their WNBA finals. What does that tell you? It needs help. They didn't reach 1 million viewers for their finals games. Their draft did because she's the main character. She's not the character, but she's the main character. She's important. But because she does not kiss the ring or doesn't fit a certain profile, people have a problem with it within that league, and that fan base has a problem with it. She has a shoe deal. I think it's $28 million from Nike. Why does she have a shoe deal and other people don't? Because people are watching her. Because there's 18 million people watching the national championship and she's one of the main reasons. That's why. Best thing you can do is when you play on one of those 26 national televised games, shut up. It is in the league's best interest, which they will try to do to make sure that she succeeds. Because it's more money in everyone's pockets. Questions and comments, huntersportstalk@gmail.com. We come to you every Tuesday. Sorry about missing last Tuesday. I'll be better. But every Tuesday, I take these and they go out. You can get them now because I put them out Tuesday night. You can listen to it either Tuesday night. You know, sometimes I'll listen to a podcast for 15, 30 minutes to put me to sleep and wake back up and listen. You can do that. We'll be waiting for you piping hot Wednesday morning. HunterSportsTalk@gmail.com. All one word, HunterSportsTalk@gmail.com. I'm William Hunter, and you're listening to Hunter Sports Talk.